thank the worship team again? Was that awesome? I love that even with, you know, three people in a band, like, God is not limited. Imagine that. I read somewhere that where two or more are gathered, that he's there in their midst. So he's not limited. He's not thrown off. He can show up anywhere. I'm having you know that if God can show up with just tremendous power in, like, Chinese underground churches, in, you know, where Christians are persecuted, he can show up at St. David's Chapel, whatever this is. But man, I love what Anne-Marie was sharing earlier just about the anticipation of the new year. I really believe that it is significant that we've stepped into not just a new year, but a new decade. And there's been so many prophetic voices and prophetic words just declaring, like, what it is that God wants to do over the next 10 years. And I really believe that if we will, like, attach faith and belief to what it is that God's speaking through prophetic voices, what he's speaking in our spirits, like, if we'll attach faith to it, I really believe that we can position ourselves honestly for the most exciting years that we have ever experienced. I really believe that. And just during pre-service prayer, we just felt God's presence so strong, and I just feel God's presence in the building. And by the way, I just want to encourage you, if you've been, like, experiencing, like, what you might call resistance or spiritual warfare, like, toward the end of 2019, some of you are like, the entire year was warfare to me. But I just want to let you know that if you've been experiencing resistance, spiritual warfare, what feels like you're just coming up against something, like, we can actually get encouraged. Because it means that God is really wanting to do something tremendous, and the enemy's just scared. Like I read somewhere recently, like, if you're like the enemy only attacks those he's afraid of. I'm gonna try this side of the room over here, because the enemy only attacks those he's afraid of. Like I heard somebody say, like, if you don't run into the devil once in a while, like, you might be going in the same direction. You know what I mean? Like, if when we experience resistance, attack, and I know, like, just personally, just some of you different stories, things that you're walking through, we've all gone through things that are just either just life or attack of the enemy. I really believe that if we will attach faith to even the attacks of the enemy and be like, the enemy wouldn't be wasting arrows on me if he wasn't afraid of my destiny. The enemy wouldn't be wasting arrows on me if he wasn't afraid of just the prophetic words and the prophetic calling and the destiny that's on my life. So I could just feel faith just welling up in me tonight about what God wants to do this year over the next 10 years. But I'm excited because tonight is Testimony Sunday, and we're really just gonna, like, spend, like, the majority of the service just hearing testimonies and stories of what God's done in people's lives over this past year, not just to celebrate, yes, to celebrate, but also to build faith and anticipation for what God wants to do in 2020. Yeah. But I just want to set us up a little bit and just share a little bit about the power of the testimony. By the way, I just want to mention real quick, Jeff announced Equip Nights that are starting up in a couple weeks. What is it, the 16th, January 16th? That we're going to spend the first three Equip Nights specifically on prophetic training and activation. We have prophetic teams here. We have prophetic community here. But this is basically, whether you're new to the prophetic or you've been around the prophetic for a long time, this is some teaching, but a lot of, like, training and activating you to prophesy, to practice. Because how many of you know we can all hear God's voice? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you hear his voice, you can prophesy. We're going to equip you and train you to prophesy regularly in the marketplace, in the grocery store, in church. But also, this is the on-ramp if you want to be on one of our prophetic teams. We're just going to ask you to come to these 3 weeks of training. Sound good? All right, so I just wanted to mention a little bit more about that. But this is Testimony Sunday. We're going to hear a bunch of really fun testimonies. But I just want to set us up a little bit and just kind of share about the power of the testimony. How many of you know testimonies are extremely powerful? Like, testimonies, like we're going to see in a minute, testimonies aren't just to encourage us or, you know, to make us feel good. But I really believe that when we share a testimony, we're actually prophesying into the atmosphere that God wants to do the exact same thing again for you and for many others. But I just want to read a psalm real quick that I just love when we talk about the testimony. And it's from Psalm 145, starting in verse 1. written by King David, Psalm 145, verse 1, it says this: I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Now listen to this, verse 4. One generation commends your works. In other words, talks about your works, shares testimony. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Verse 6, they tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Everybody say, I will proclaim your great deeds. I just want to read through this. They celebrate your abundant goodness. We're about to celebrate the goodness of God just by hearing what he's done. And joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works shall praise you, Lord. Your faithful people exalt you. Listen, as we share testimonies, the very testimonies themselves are going to be giving praise to the Lord. I love this. Verse 11, they tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. So what I want to do, just real quick, and then I'm going to call a whole bunch of people up here. In fact, I'm going to, guys that I've asked to share testimonies, I'm just going to ask you, just get ready, because I'm going to call you up probably three at a time, and get ready to share in 3 minutes or less. I've done the math. We can get through this. This is going to work, I think. I believe in miracles. So get ready when I call you to come up. But let me just say this. When you hear testimonies tonight, I want to encourage you to like grab hold of the testimony. Like there's something about when you hear the testimony, like grab hold of it and say, I'm going to grab that testimony for my life. I'm going to activate that testimony in my life for my situation, okay? But what I want to do just quickly is I want to share just like three reasons why we're doing this, three reasons why we share testimonies, why we celebrate. And the first reason that I want to share is this. It's really obvious, but really, really important. Testimonies give glory to God. Like we just read it. Like it says, your works shall praise you. Like there's something about just testifying about what God has done or what is doing in our lives that is literally giving glory unto the Lord. It's like there's so many ways that we can worship God. We can worship God by singing to him. We can dance before him. We can raise our hands to him. But we can also worship and give glory to God just by telling somebody something that he's done for us. So the testimony gives glory to God. And let me just say this. I believe there's already angels here tonight. And I believe that when people testify of what it is that God did for them, angels actually get excited and they start to gather and they're like, ooh, I really want to do that again. Yeah. It's like, I believe that when we prophesy, when we testify, when we talk about the Lord, I mean, I don't know how many times I've just been with friends just talking about the Lord and talking about his presence and things that he's doing, and we can start to feel an angelic realm come into the room because angels get excited when we talk about them. So there's power in the testimony. And one of the reasons we do it is just to give glory to God. And when we do that, even angels get excited and gather in our midst. The second reason why we share testimonies, honestly, it's to encourage, but not just to encourage. It's actually to build faith. It's like when we share testimonies, what testimonies should do is they should actually build your faith. I mean, the word encourage means to put courage into you. It's encourage. So when we share, when you hear stories of things that God has done in people's lives over 2019, it should impart courage and it should impart faith to see God do amazing things, to see God work, move on your behalf, because testimony's purpose is to build faith, and I want to encourage you, allow your faith level to just increase. Allow, like, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, don't beat yourself up if you have a lack of faith. Just, I love this. Psalm 37, verse 4 says this. David wrote this. He said, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Everybody say, feed on his faithfulness. Like one of the ways that we feed on the faithfulness of God is by meditating and talking about and listening to the things that he's doing. It's feeding on testimonies. And can I just say this? There's power in good news. Like we just came through the Christmas season. When the angel showed up, what did they say? The angel of the Lord showed up. He said, glory to God on the highest. He's announcing this to the shepherds. Glory to God on the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. But he also said this. He said, I've come to bring you good news of great joy. The gospel was announced as good news, and the kingdom of God has been advancing through good news ever since. And I just want to say this, like, we hear too much bad news every day. Like, you just turn on the news, and there's bad news. Why? Bad news sells. But did you know that there's a whole lot of good things going on in the world that we just never hear about? Like, think about how many people are even getting healed, like miraculously healed of cancer. Like, there's resurrections on a regular basis in the nation of Africa. When's the last time you turned on CNN and they're like, there's been another resurrection in Mozambique? You know, I love this. Years ago, this prophetic voice by the name of Paul Kane, he's gone to be with the Lord. He prophesied in the 80s that the Lord is going to pour out stadium Christianity upon America, and that stadiums would be packed with crowds of people that are just testifying about the signs, wonders, and miracles, hospitals being emptied. Like, this is happening in third world nations. Why not America? And he said like he saw this in a vision where people would actually turn on the news station and news broadcasters would be like broadcasting news like there's another stadium. Could you imagine? There's another stadium in downtown San Antonio, not because the Spurs are playing, but because people are being raised from the dead. Tumors are falling off of people. Ladies and gentlemen, I've come to tell you I don't have any bad news to report tonight. I only have good news tonight. Like, what if we just focused more on what God is doing than what the devil's doing or what it seems like God's not doing? I promise you, the kingdom of God will be advanced in the earth when we focus more on what he is doing than we do on what the devil's doing or what it seems like God's not doing. Because here's the deal. What you focus on will always increase. What we give attention to will be magnified. And the more we feed on his faithfulness, the more we're going to have faith for the same things in our own lives, the more our faith is going to grow. And I believe the more we're going to actually see those things happen again. So to encourage hearts and to build faith, and the third thing that I want to share, and I'll finish with this, is testimonies are actually prophetic declarations. One of the reasons we share testimonies is, listen, one of the root words, Hebrew root words for the word testimony literally means to repeat or to do it again. And that's why oftentimes, especially in healing meetings, like people just share testimonies of healing and the same miracle will actually just start manifesting in the room. One, because somebody heard the testimony and attached faith to it and said, I'll receive that for my own life. But I believe it's also because testimonies are prophetic in nature. And when we share a testimony, sometimes just by speaking it, we're prophesying that it's about to happen again. And here's the deal. Some things will only happen in the kingdom if there's first a declaration. So when we declare something, things start to happen. In Psalms, it says that angels move at his word. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I believe that also means that when we share a testimony, we're releasing faith and we're actually prophesying and actually causing things to take place because the testimony actually means do it again. Does this make sense? So we're going to hear a whole bunch of testimonies. Is that okay? All right, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to share some testimonies. There were some people that couldn't be here, so we asked them to make a video, only one video, actually, we're going to see tonight. And this is by our friend Stan Torvik. And let me just say this. We're going to do this randomly. There's some breakthroughs about financial provision. There's some about business breakthrough. There's some about physical healing. There's some about, like, restoration in families or just the Lord just using people to minister to their family. Where's Michael? Michael, can you come on up? Let's just welcome Michael. Yeah, come on up. Stephen Dyer. Stephen Dyer, come on up, and Gabriella. Where are you, Gabriella? All right, let's welcome Gabrielle. She comes out. And we're just going to celebrate what God's doing. So, Stephen, let's start with you. Yeah.
So, this past year, my testimony is really a culmination of over 10 years of God working on me. So I'll start literally in 2006, under 2 minutes. So in 2006, I graduated from college, freshly minted business degree, and knew that I was God's gift to the business world and that money would just come flowing in. And in 2009, I moved back in with my mom. And I had negative money. And from there, God really transformed me, and I began to pursue him instead of money. I knew that I didn't have the money thing figured out. And I said that he would take care of things from there. But I was also very humbled. So I began this journey where in 2014, my friend Ben Hallback introduced me to a new job opportunity that I thought that I was an awful fit for. It was in sales. And at that time, I thought sales was like the lowest job you could get. Like, you know, I was way too smart to be a salesperson. And so I asked God, should I take this job? And much to my disappointment, he said yes. And I asked him for some confirming words, and he gave me scriptures. And the first thing that he told me, which is important to me, is he said, "I will repay for the years that the locusts have eaten away." And then he said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding." And he also told me that I was created for good works, and he had prepared things beforehand that I could walk in. So for the last 5.5 years, I've been selling. I've been selling business consulting work. And the first 2 years, I really struggled. And I wanted to quit, but God would not release me from that job, and he wouldn't remove his peace from that place. He wouldn't let me go anywhere else. And during that time, I had people like the Baileys and the Festies and the Lovelaces and the Dukes all pray over me and just continue to bless me with provision and bless me almost with a new identity and a new family line where provision could just come to me. So, at the beginning of last year, my business was acquired, business I worked for, and then I really wanted to quit. I didn't like the new owners, and still God would not release his peace over the job. So, good news. At the end of this last year, the numbers just came out this last week for all of 2019. So in this big company I just got scooped up into, out of all the salespeople, about 1,000 of them, I was ranked number 5 overall and number 1 in my division. Yeah. So this non-salesperson, and I really say that, I'm an introverted, kind of serious guy. It's like not the person that you would typically like, I'm not Zig Ziglar, okay? So it's really all glory to God. And in 3 weeks, Allie and I get to go to a sales meeting, and I get to stand up on stage and speak to thousands of people and give glory to God there for what he's done over the last 5 years and last year. So my family has prospered so much in this last year financially. But, you know, it's not just a financial provision testimony. It's a testimony of pursuing God first and going where he says to go and not leaning on your own understanding and trusting him that he knows the provision that lies ahead that you don't know about. And he even knows gifts in you that are there that you don't know about. So I just bless this body just with financial provision and the faith to trust in God just to take you wherever he wants to take you. In Jesus' name.
So good. Love that. All right, let's go Gabriella. Do you guys love this girl right here? She's just back. She's so new, like she's fairly new to Kingdom Life, but she just serves so much. She's like running all over the place setting up stuff, and like she's just awesome.
Yeah. So she emailed me a testimony. I'm like, you need to share that.
Thanks for letting me. Hey, you guys. Happy Sunday. So God is so good, and I am so excited to be up here and just encourage y'all in what he's done for me in the past year. He really built me up before asking me to come to San Antonio, and at the end of 2018, I asked him, Lord, strengthen my core. And stepping into 2019, he asked me into San Antonio, and here I am, and I'm so glad to be here. I could not see beyond 200 yards in front of me as he asked me here. I didn't know what I was going to do financially, just knew that I was supposed to come to San Antonio, and it's been super sweet, a super sweet ride, thank you, Jesus. And I had money saved up before I came in, I had enough money in my checking account before I came in for a bit, but in June, that money started depleting. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do we do? Start of June, paid my June's bills, and I had $4.25 in my bank account. And I'm like, Lord, what are we doing? He's like, it's okay. We're okay. The money's coming. And I was like, okay, right on. And by the next day, $30 was Zelle to me. So $30 is more than enough to keep me above negative, and I was so thankful for that. And on, he kept just providing for me financially. Sometimes I took little jobs like house sitting and dog sitting and working on my dad's ranch, which was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. But time and time again, he would provide. So in August, 200 came in just through Venmo. And in October, 500 came in, and that was awesome. My faith has built so much. It was a year of faith building and obedience and trust, and God has done all of the things. Thank you, Jesus. And at the end of this past year, 2019, a lot of money came in. $3,000 came in, and I was like, whoa, that's amazing. But totally overwhelmed, and I'm just encouraged to go into 2020 and just step forth with not only a great place financially, thank you, Jesus, but also a built spirit man that is like, wow, come on. So thank you, Lord, for that. And that is my testimony.
So good. All right, Michael, come on up here. This testimony is so fun.
Yeah,
all right.
Brought stuff, is that okay?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, cool. So yeah, it's been like a year that I've been here at Kingdom Life, or a little over a year, and I journaled some stuff when Chuck asked me to kind of speak, because I kind of wanted to stay on par. So I hope this kind of encourages you. Last year, 2018, was a year of depression. It was a really tough year for me. I had I was diagnosed with depression, and it was at its worst. And anxiety disorder, and just all these things that were just put on me and labeled on me, and I just didn't know what to do. And as a believer, you feel even worse, because it's like, I believe in God. And it's like, I don't even want people to know about this, because then they're going to be like, oh, you don't have faith or something. And so just the shame that kind of even comes from being a believer, but also struggling with depression and anxiety, it's like double shame or something. And so I was just like, God, what's going on? Like, you know, like, I believe in you. I've trusted in you. You've always pulled through in my life. But what is going on? Like, really going crazy trying to understand things. And so I just, I started kind of funneling down, you know, what this was. And so I start off with Romans 12:6, because it was the renewal of your mind. It was really at that moment where I just said, okay, Lord, let's do this. Like, your word says this, so I'm going to hold you to it. So let's go through this process. And so just kind of breaking down, like, what anxiety and depression was for me. So it was like, okay, this anxiety and depression comes from hopelessness. There's a place of hopelessness in your life, because if you're hopeless, then that's why you feel the way you feel. But hopelessness is coming from fear. So you're believing fears, Michael. But more than that, there's a belief that you almost like believe this fear. Like, it's not even just a fear that's there. It's like a belief. Like, I'm attached to this fear. And what this fear is really a lie. It's a lie that you're believing. And so because belief is such a powerful thing. When you believe something, you believe something. Like, and so even though someone's telling you, like, hey, Michael, that's a lie, it's like, okay, that's cool, but I believe it. Like, so it doesn't matter if you tell me it's a lie. Like, I still believe it. Like, you know? And so it was like asking the Lord to help me break that down and understand that this is a lie. Like, what people were telling me, it's lies, but I'm like, yeah, that doesn't help me. Like, because I believe it. And so It's really kind of Philippians 4:7. We see that the Lord says that he gives a peace that exceeds all understanding that will guard your heart and your mind. And so I was like, okay, Lord, like I have to surrender my understanding because obviously I can't figure this out. Like my understanding mind cannot figure this out. So I had to lay that at the table. And the Lord just took me on this journey of just fellowshipping with him. And I just remember like, when you're at that point of desperation and you're like, okay, nothing is satisfying me. Like I need to be at the feet of Jesus. And so it was cool because he stuck me in Hosea. And I had never read the book of Hosea. And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm a whore. Like it's like, this is what this book is saying, right? Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is what the Lord thinks of me. And so, but it was such a great book. Like, I'm so glad I spent time in this book. And so it was really cool because the Lord says that the people perished for their lack of knowledge and understanding. And then side by side, I'm reading through Proverbs that says, you know, seek understanding. And so here I am trying to understand things. The Lord is telling me that people perish because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of God. And then here Proverbs is telling me to understand God. And so I knew that I had to come to a place of understanding. I need to come to a place where I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus and I'm going to understand him. I want to know him. And so it was really cool because through that, Psalms 119 told me that, you know, that the Lord gives us life according to understanding. So in order for me to live, I needed understanding. Psalms 119, 144 says, give me understanding so that I may live. So I knew that I needed understanding. I needed to understand who my God was and who I was in him. And that could only happen through me spending time with him. And then he took me to Songs of Solomon and introduced me that he is my husband. And that was amazing. Because in Ephesians, it says, I know for guys that's kind of weird, but it really is a cool thing. Ephesians 5:26, that husbands, it says, wash your wives with the word. And so I knew that God was healing me through the word. Where I was praying for the Lord to give me that one prayer that was like that Shaka Baba, that like my depression was going to go, it didn't happen that way. It just didn't. And I'm not saying the Lord can't do that. I think he can. But it was through a process of just me realizing that he was going to heal me through his word. He, as my husband, was going to wash me through his word. He was going to bring understanding through his word. And so it was really cool because then I go back to Hosea and I'm like, some of this stuff just reminds me of Hosea when I just finished reading it. And it says here, it's Hosea 2:14. I love it. It's the Lord. He says, I will allure her, Israel, and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And I loved that because I felt like I was in a wilderness. Like, I'm in a wilderness and get me out of this wilderness. I don't want to die like some of the people of the Israelites did. I want to live through the wilderness. And so I started to see, I think Chuck actually told me this, that the wilderness is actually a really cool place because it's a place of intimacy with God. And so I was like, learned that in the wilderness, I can have intimacy with God. It's an invitation to be intimate with him. And so with that, throughout this year here at Kingdom Life, I had heard so many prophetic words and so many things that I was holding on to and journaling and saving, and I'm just holding on to these things. And sometimes it was like, honestly, there were times where I was just like, I would get, you know, this is not a prophetic word that I got, but kind of, you know, like, you're going to run a marathon. But I'm like, I have a wound on my leg. Like, there's no way I can run a marathon, you know? I had to learn that sometimes, like, prophetic words, like, even though they're really great, I needed healing. I needed healing so then I can live out that prophetic word. And so it was really cool. The Lord brought healing through the washing of his word. And so he healed my mind. He healed my depression. He healed my anxiety through his word. And so just to kind of share this last part of it is this past Christmas, the Lord told me to give a prophetic word to every single one of my family members during Christmas. And so I was at my sister's house, and not all of them are believers. Some of them are, some of them are not. But the Lord showed me that the prophetic word is like a physician. It diagnoses. It diagnoses, but diagnoses with hope. It's like, let's diagnose you, and let's find out what's going on, but let's give you hope. And so I was able to give a prophetic word to every single one of my family members went in, even the men, which is very hard in my family because we have very prideful Hispanic men. And so every single one of them went into that room, even children, and each one of them got out their phones. It was basically like we were in Kingdom Life back there. I had them come into a separate room, had them record their phones, gave them prophetic words, and they each left there just so hopeful, just believing and with expectation that 2020 was going to be an awesome year for them.
So good. And Michael told me that.
And the strength in those relationships have opened doors that I would not have imagined.
Stan just interrupted me. Michael told me he prophesied over his family who aren't even used to the prophetic. It's brand new to them. He prophesied for 4 hours. Yeah. as they came in one after the other into the room to get a word for him. And afterwards, they were like, can you send me that word? And they're like, so isn't that amazing? Let's thank God for that one more time. Thanks, buddy. So good. All right, I think, is Stan's ready? All right, Mr. Torvitt.
So 2019 was an amazing year for my business. Really thankful to the relationships that God has brought in our pathways. And the opportunities that he's presented to us are just different. They've been with vendors, with other consulting firms. And the strength in those relationships have opened doors that I would not have imagined would be open. But I do want to share with you one incident that was a pretty difficult thing to walk through this last year, and that is we had someone basically steal a pretty large amount of revenue from one of our clients that was supposed to come into us. And they foolishly did it across state lines, and so we were able to freeze those assets. But this transpired over 2 to 3 months, and so it took some time to work through the process with a client, but that revenue was able to come back into our coffers. But I think it's a good reminder to just be patient and to not get frazzled when things go wrong. Sometimes you can affect change and sometimes you can't. And so I think I'm just really appreciative to my leadership team that just helped me stay the course and be hopeful. And so I would encourage you, if anyone's going through some challenging times, to do that as well.
So good. All right, do we have Sarah Hashes ready, Jeff? Sarah's sideways, just a heads up, so you're gonna have to go like this. We couldn't fix the video, but this is a great testimony.
Hey guys, it's Sarah. Last January, Jesus started talking to me about it being a season of the earthquake, and that the earthquake was gonna cause a breaking and a shaking in the body that was gonna produce an alignment with the heart of God that would cause a wave of the love of God to overtake cities and states and nations. And so for me, that's what a lot of 2019 was a breaking and a shaking, removing the things that could be shaken, but getting to encounter Jesus in those places of things that hadn't formerly been of him, or places that I depended on other things outside of who he was and him, were being removed and exposed. Got to encounter the love and the faithfulness of God time and time again in those places. And as I was being shaken, came face to face with Jesus as constant and Jesus as faithful and Jesus as provider in ways that I'd never seen before. And a big part of that process for me was actually believing for promises that Jesus had spoken, but not seeing those promises fulfilled the way that I thought they would be fulfilled. But getting to actually receive Jesus first instead of the promise. So as I receive the promiser, my intimacy with the promiser is actually producing the fulfillment of my promise. But I just get Jesus. And I think that's what a lot of 2019 for me was. But I also feel like God has been saying that moving into 2020, we're actually going to be receiving not only him, but also what he's been saying that we're going to receive out of our intimacy with him. And I do believe that as he's going to be fulfilling those promises to us, just because he's faithful, that we get the opportunity to lay those promises and the things that we've received back at his feet as a thank offering, that it's not just a sacrifice of praise anymore, but that it's now a thank offering and offering it back to him for what he's done and just for who he is. So really thankful for 2019 and the love and faithfulness of Jesus, even when everything else is being shaken.
Awesome. So good. I'm going to ask Shane to come on up and Diane and... is Andrew Silva here or Gabby? Andrew or Gabby? Yeah, come on up. Yeah, let's welcome Gabby and Shane and Diane as they come up. All right, Shane, why don't you go for it?
I actually brought a timer up here just to keep me on track. Preachers need this sometimes. Okay, so... I'm not going to start in 2006. I'm going to start in 2015 just to make it go by a little faster. But I think I've shared it here. But in 2015, my wife and I, we ended up losing a baby boy. And up until that point, in my life, I've always been kind of a free spirit. Wendy's the responsible one, and I was always kind of like, God, just going to work it out, and we're going to be all good. So I noticed over the following years that I started to feel like kind of anxious, because the first time in my life, I felt like I wasn't in control, or maybe like there's some things that I don't understand, but it just kind of bothered me. In 2018, I would say we got kind of knocked off our rocker in 2018, not to the same degree, but just through different circumstances. So eventually I started giving massive anxiety. And when I say anxiety, I'm talking to the point about everything and anything. Like, I would walk through the house, the AC would be set on 72, and it's like 71 and still blowing out air, and I'd have like a panic attack. Anyone following me there? So I end up having a conversation with Wendy, and I said, okay, like, I'm freaking out right now. I need to go see like a psychiatrist. Like, and if they want to give me medicine, I'm totally okay with that. I'll take it at night when I get home from work and I'll chill out. But if you know me, that's not me. I'm very free spirited. I don't worry about things. I had set an appointment to go see a psychiatrist on Thursday, and we'd had a friend contact us from Austin, a really close friend. And she had said, when y'all were moving to San Antonio, the day y'all were moving, I'd had a dream about something that was happening inside the house. And she said, I felt like that I just had bad pizza that night. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was just calling to check in on you guys and see how you're doing in the house. Like, how is Shane doing? And then Wendy shared with her kind of what I was going through. Our friend is a prayer warrior. If you know this girl, she's got an anointing to just break things off of people. So she ends up driving down from Austin to San Antonio that night. And by that time, we've already prayed through the house. I've prayed over myself. And I'm like, okay, like, I have authority. This thing's supposed to go. I didn't even really care about her. At that time, my attitude was like, she can drive down here, but kind of like nothing's going to happen, if that makes sense. So she gets there, and she just started praying over things she saw in the house that had happened before we got there. And she laid her hand on me, and as a Joey would say, she released the Shabba Baba on me. The Shabba Baba doesn't always work, but sometimes it is a spiritual thing, and you just need the Shabba Baba, okay? So she put her hand on me. She released the Shabba Baba. It was late that night. I ended up going to bed. I woke up the next day. I'm driving to work, and I'm like, I feel much lighter. So it continued throughout the day, and I ended up sending a message to Wendy. I'm like, that thing is completely gone. Yeah, completely gone. So I called and canceled my psychiatrist appointment that day, and I haven't felt it ever since. And I was there and there. So, yeah.
So good. But by the way, we're later than I planned. We're going to try to go fast. I'm going to remind everybody to keep it short, maybe even a little bit shorter than they planned. But we are going to have an opportunity to pray for pretty much all of these categories that we're covering. So after these testimonies, we're going to have an opportunity. We have people ready that shared testimonies ready to pray for you and release their testimony over you. We're going to have people ready to pray for physical healing. We're going to have a group ready to pray for breakthrough in family relationships. We're going to have a group ready to pray for financial provision and business breakthrough. And now we're going to add people to pray for those struggling with anxiety, okay? So I want to encourage you, if you can, come on up to get prayer to attach faith to the testimony. So let's hear it for Diane.
So just like with Stephen, how do you put together a life journey? I was adopted when I was 3 months old, and I had wonderful parents. They were God-given to me. And I never wanted to find my natural parents because my parents were really wonderful. They were just full of love, and they loved me so well. But in December, January of this past year, of or 2019, I kept feeling like the Lord kept prodding me to that. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. I'll look into it. So I was at ladies' Bible study, and one of the gals there said, I can help you find your parents. And it felt like sort of like a declaration from the Lord, like, you need to do that. Like, and so on February 14th, I ventured out on my love discovery to find my birth family. So I put it all down so that I could be quick and to the point, because I'm not very good at that. But so in my waiting, the Lord gave me a word. And he said, Diane, this is a word for you, and it's really for the body of Christ. And so it's for everyone in this room tonight, that there are pieces, and the Lord said bits, and bits is sort of an English term, but it's there pieces of our journey, of our life, that we lost along the way. And the Lord is coming in this season to restore those things that we lost. And some of those things that we lost are because they were stolen. Some of those things are because we couldn't see them. We couldn't receive them. We had no faith for them. They seemed totally out of character, right, of who we became. But the Lord said, that's part of your DNA, that's part of your blood, and that's who you are. Needless to say, my journey with ancestry turned out really well. After I got my results back the first day, I found my sister on my mother's side, my adopted sister. She was also adopted. And then the next week, I found my family, my mother's side of the family. I found out that my mother was passed. I found my father's side, and I found my other sister. And we spoke on the phone. And it was just amazing, out of all these years, to hear breath of somebody that was part of who you were. It was very strange, but very wonderful. And learning about my mom and learning about my father, we wondered how I would find my family, because there was no like DNA connection. So how do you make that happen? And so every time I would hit a brick wall, or my sister and I would hit a brick wall, the Lord would just open the door. And so he did that, and somebody from my sister's family called and told them, hey, you've got two girls that belong to my mom, Juanita. Are you interested in meeting them, because they don't want to put anything upon you? And so they were like, yes, we do. So long story short, in May, I actually got to go and be, my mother passed away in February, and I actually got to go and be part of a memorial service and sit and find the whole family on my mother's side. No, I'm not done. I'm hurrying, though. So I guess in finding these people and in finding all these things, the Lord gave me a scripture, and I want, and it's part of the blood and the DNA of who we are in Jesus and who we are as the body of Christ. And in Colossians 1:20, it says, and by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. And I tell you the truth, church, I am being restored back to innocence again. And you know what? So can you. And I just bless you guys to grab hold of that and take it to whatever part of you needs to be restored.
It's awesome. Don't you love that? Gabby, come on up. And Brooke, why don't you come on up? And if Cam's here, can you come on up? Okay, we're going to keep these ones short and punchy.
Hi, guys. I'm Gabby. I just want to give a quick testimony. Hi, guys. My father-in-law was diagnosed with with prostate and lymphoma cancer. Out of the blue, it was really shocking to the family, and he is in remission. he's not a believer. So when they would come and visit, I would just, with the boldness of God in me, be like, we're praying over you. We're doing it. And he actually thanked me, which was really big, for praying over him. And we're just believing for his salvation and the rest of his family to follow.
So good. Cam, why don't you come on up? Actually, I'm going to go Cam and then Brooke. Cam, come on up. That's
all right. Good to see you. 3 minutes. Cliff notes. Okay. I want to talk about two situations that kind of happened in my life that really show how we got an awesome God. One goes all the way back to 2013. I had a fall, and it was kind of a grisly fall. My wife and son took me to the hospital, and the hospital that I was at said, there's nothing we can do for him. He broke his neck, and, you know, we're going to have to ship him to Bamsey. So they papoosed me and put me in an ambulance, and off I go. The first hospital had taken x-rays, and it verified that I broke my neck. And so I get to the Bamsey and get in the room, and I was on medication, just kind of out of it. And my dear wife leans over and says, you know, you've been badly hurt, but it's going to be okay. And so that same evening, she prayed over me and prayed for healing. Then at Bamsey, they took another set of x-rays. And so that next morning, the doctor came in, and he goes, you know, I'm looking at the x-rays from the first hospital, and he says, I can see what they're saying. And I'm looking at the x-rays that we just took, and he goes, it's gone.
So amazing. And just because I really wanted to share this part too, fast forward to, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago, and we were 3 months ago, and you came up for prayer for what, and then what happened?
I was in an auto accident, and I hurt my neck, and I was on lots of pain pills, going straight towards addiction to hydrocodone. And I came up here for prayer, and I was hurt. And so Chuck and the prayer team prayed over me, and they first prefaced it by saying, so what's your pain level right now? I went, oh, 7. And so they prayed over me, and I was very self-conscious of being here and wasn't really thinking about anything. And then Stan goes, after the prayer, so what's your pain level at now? And I went, oh, that's kind of why I'm up here. 0. And it stayed 0 for a good 6 weeks. Unfortunately, it has come back, but with that, it has, I see God's hand in this, in that it is directing me in a path that I wouldn't have taken otherwise, and I really see his provision, and am really excited by what route I'm going right now, so.
Awesome.
So good. So Cam was out of work for 6 months, about six months. And then he went back to work after getting prayer. He went to bat. He's a dentist. He went back to work the next day. And then you have since had a surgery.
I had another surgery, and I'm doing better.
Awesome.
I'm not worried about it.
Come on. Let's thank the Lord for that. And you can get more prayer tonight. We've gone way over than we planned, but I'm going to ask Brooke to come on up and share real quick.
So the first half, if you guys remember what Sarah said, you can just apply that directly to me. I think we went through the same 2019 year. Last year, 2018, going into 2019, I fasted because my husband and I were really believing for breakthrough in the year of 2019.
And then what God revealed to me at the end of the fast was he said, I want to break through you first before I can take you into your breakthrough. And what he revealed to me in this year is that there was a lot of crushing and a lot of stretching and a lot of testing and a lot of trying and a lot of extracting that he wanted to do out of me so that he could take me into the land that he wanted to take me into. So I could take full authority with him over everything he wanted to and then some. And so, this year, I truly believe that this is the year I'm stepping into a lot of things. However, even in the midst of 2019 of being a really crushing, trying year, I know it was just God really refining me and making me just metal that is not bendable, just metal that is super strong. And I take great pride in being strong. My whole life is a fitness kind of person. And so just God really humbling me in that area and showing me that's okay for me to be weak so that he can get the glory in being strong has been totally awesome and rocking my world. But all that to say, when I went to my very first prophetic meeting training, Chuck gave me a word and I was like, oh, I get Chuck to give me a word. I was super stoked. And basically everything he said, I was either starting or about to step into and had no idea. So if you don't record your words or write them down, I encourage you to do so and go back and look at it when you're feeling down and when you're feeling depressed and when you feel like the walls are caving in, go and look at your words because they are straight from heaven. So basically he said that, you know what I mean. All right, so he said, preach the gospel that I would open prison gates, I would have a breaker anointing, I would set captives free, I would break off addictions off of people, I would break eating disorders, and I would set women free from self-hatred, self-harm, self-rejection, even cutters. So I would have the spirit of evangelists, I would bring restoration, I would have a platform for freedom to bring people out of captivity from substance abuse, that I would have a story in my hand, that I'd be pregnant with the word of God, that the word would be in my bones like fire, that I would have I hope I don't sound like I'm just bragging about the word that Chuck gave me at all, but like, I mean, God has literally, I didn't think I had a platform, and my friend was just like, oh, you already have that. And so there's this thing that I do, it's called Break Down the Walls, and it's just, it's through the fitness gym that I work out at and coach at, and all of a sudden, just all these girls with either self-hatred or cutting or eating disorders and just, you name it, have just been sprouting up like weeds, and God has been putting them in my life, and all of a sudden, I'm having one-on-one talks, I'm going on a 400 walk, and I'm just sharing like testimony after testimony of how you actually can have freedom in Christ and you can walk in that freedom forever. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, and I'm super stoked about 2020.
Isn't that awesome? So, so good. Well, I mean, she was going to share tonight, but she realized she didn't make it. But some of you heard this testimony. But I just want to finish with this. Michelle Canamar, one night, I don't know how many months ago, we heard a testimony from Casey Harris that somebody they prayed for with cancer got healed. And then I said, okay, Casey, release that testimony. So I said, if you or anybody in your family has cancer, stand. And so different people stood. Michelle stood for her grandmother right over here and stood because her grandmother had a tumor on her collarbone that you could see by looking at her. She didn't even tell her grandmother she prayed. The next morning, Michelle texted me. I was at the gym. She said, I just got a text from my mom who's at my grandmother's house. And she said, neither of them can stop crying because they cannot find the tumor that was on her collarbone. So let's just thank Jesus for that. Like, Michelle said she didn't even really have faith for it. She's like, I'll just stand. So she stood and boom. And Matt, you know, Matt has testimonies about people that he's praying. Matt, I meant to have you come up, but we ran out of time. He's praying for people in the tattoo parlor. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. Listen, we've heard all these testimonies. Now we want to release those testimonies. So let's just thank the Lord one more time, and let's all stand together. If you need to slip out, you can slip out. But I'm going to ask those that I asked to be available to pray to come up to the front quickly. So we're going to have Peyton and Matt, if you can come on up. And Steve and Karen, or one of you, if you want to help pray for physical healing, you can do that. So we're going to have a physical healing section right over here. Right next to them, we're going to have prayer for anxiety. If Shane's going to release his testimony. Michael, if you want to pray with Shane, that would be amazing. Come up to Shane. If you're battling anxiety, you want peace. And also, if you need healing in a family relationship, a relationship restored, Diane is going to be up here ready to pray for you. If you need any of those things, I'm going to ask you to come forward for prayer. Or if you just need prayer for something that's not mentioned, we're going to have the rest of our ministry team just over in this corner ready to pray for people. If our rest of our ministry team could come on over here. Those that need, that's right, Stephen just reminded me, if you want prayer for financial provision or you need breakthrough in your business, come on up to Stephen and he's going to pray for you. Sound good? All right, let's just thank the Lord one more time. We're going to do this. If you're visiting for the first time or you're new to Kingdom Life and you still want prophetic ministry, do we have prophetic teams ready to do that now or are we going to have to wait? Okay, so go see Stan if you want prophetic ministry. He's at the back if you're new to Kingdom Life. Besides that, God bless you guys. We love you. Happy New Year, and we'll see you throughout the week.